welcome everybody out there in internet land. I'm Doug. This is Ghostly Talk. As the beautiful sounds of Scott K's Ghostly Talk song intro thingy fade, I want to announce that I'm the only one in the studio tonight. Yes, it is just me, Doug, and you. This is Ghostly Talk. Ghostly Talk is heard every Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Pioneer Radio Network. That's pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O, .net. Pioneer has been really, really, really busy lately, and we're all extremely, extremely excited to bring Rob McConnell's X-Zone Radio. That's the extremely famous paranormal talk show, very long-running paranormal talk show out of Canada, and Rob McConnell will be joining Pioneer starting Monday, which would be, what, tomorrow? Wow. Very, very exciting. And also, there's many fine programs, of course, available on Pioneer, Pioneer being, you know, the home of live Ghostly Talk. And there's, of course, Ghostly Talk. Yeah, he probably knew that. And then there's, of course, there's APSR, there's Magic Mind, Dez's hypnotism show. I don't even remember the name of it. I'm so sorry. And many other great things. And, of course, you know, a listing of Pioneer's radio station offerings cannot go without saying W Paranormal, because W Paranormal is the extremely popular show that immediately follows Ghostly Talk. So Rob and Bob and John's Monty and all you, keep it up. Congratulations on your first year, as we said last week. And keep it up. Let's have year number two, same time next year. In the news lately, who can turn on a channel? Who can turn on any kind of either radio channel, which is, of course, what I'm addicted to, or TV channels, you know, satellite, cable, that kind of thing, without knowing that there's this massive hurricane that has been absolutely attacking Florida for the past few days? Hurricane Francis, still a hurricane as far as I knew as of about an hour ago, and it's pretty much settled in over Florida. And I have to say, to all you folks down in Florida, I know you probably won't be hearing this until it's archived, because there's not much power left in Florida. You guys, hang in there. All of our thoughts are with you. The rebuilding effort, it's going to be enormous, but we're humans. We push on, and let's get through this one and see what we can do about diverting the next one coming, Ivan the Terrible. Well, this is a different kind of Ivan. This is a hurricane kind of Ivan. Yikes. So all of our hopes and prayers are with you. Simultaneously with this hurricane was two earthquakes, a 7.0 and a 7.1 on the Richter scale, out in Japan. So the earth is just absolutely trembling and quaking with power and energy on one side of the coast, or one side of the earth, and then throwing winds and rain and water and then everything that's not bolted down, and even some things that were bolted down, on the other side of the earth. What is up with this? This weather pattern is just absolutely insane lately. Here in Michigan, because Ghostly Talk is broadcast live from the Haunted Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan. We're just a little bit north of Detroit. And here in Michigan, we have remarkably fine weather. Absolutely insane, because usually we're broadcasting from a power outage or an imminent power outage. Because here in Michigan, if you just wait an hour or so, the weather's going to be completely different. Not for the past couple days. It's been fine. I expect, though, that all of this portends the future of our Ghostly Talk trip that we're taking next week. I have a feeling that it's going to be pouring rain and absolutely miserable. But, you know, I don't know everything. I'm not a weather broadcaster. I'm not even a broadcaster. I'm an amateur broadcaster from a basement. So don't listen to me about that. I just have a feeling that it's going to be very interesting weather next week because we will be out and about. And Murphy, usually invisible Murphy, that's Murphy of Murphy's Law, usually follows the Ghostly Talk crew. And since it'll be Scott L., and Will and Karma and myself and of course Bonnie and several others, we might even get some W Paranormal folks to go with us, because we're all going to be out and about trying to look for ghosts in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania and surrounding areas. We just might get some interesting weather. Let's hope not. But I have a feeling we're going to have a lot to report on the week after that. Speaking of our trip, we are indeed going to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania next week. Next week there will not be a live Ghostly Talk. So even though I know I say every single week, this is, you know, Doug, this is Ghostly Talk, and Ghostly Talk is broadcast live every Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, I say that every week. I mean, it's only live when we're actually doing a show. There's a few weekends, a few Sundays a year that we don't do a show. And when we're not in town, that's usually when we don't do a show. And since we don't go out very often because they keep us locked up in our homes because, you know, we're dangerous to ourselves, they keep us locked up. So we don't get out very much. So there's almost always a Ghostly Talk. But next Sunday, no. No live Ghostly Talk, no. So you can listen to a wonderful archive next week while we explore Gettysburg. We will be in Gettysburg next Sunday. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, one of the most haunted cities in the United States. And we will be, of course, hanging out. I put it on the webpage. If you go to our home site, which is www.ghostlytalk.com, if you go to our homepage, I put up a listing of where we'll be and when. It actually starts the Friday before. We're going to be at Mansfield, OSR. Gary, I know you're in the chat room. Gary, hopefully we'll see you there. And so we're going to be at OSR on Friday. Then Saturday, we're going to be back up here in Utica, Michigan. Well, I'm sorry, Washington Township, Michigan, for the Octagon House. And we're going to be guarding the tents, which is kind of a cool thing that sort of just happened. They're like, well, do you want to, you know, stay with the tents? What those are, they have a craft fair every year. And it's very large, and a lot of people attend, and a lot of people, you know, display their wares, and a lot of people buy these crafters' wares. Well, at night, it's a two-day event, so at night, the crafters, they take their valuable stuff, of course, but they leave, like, tables and chairs, you know, like plastic tables, plastic chairs, in these tents, these outdoor, like, I'm sure you've seen them at, you know, campgrounds and stuff like that. They have these things that are just like canopies, but then you can buy these walls that go around them. And so they wall up their tents and they leave just like, you know, tables and chairs. Well, we're supposed to be there just to mill about and make sure that nobody else is there, nobody that we don't know. So we're guarding these tents. Well, this is an actual cool opportunity for amateur ghost hunters, which of course we are, because we really feel that the Octagon House is haunted. It certainly has a huge history, just an enormous amount of history. It was built a long time ago by Lauren Andrus when the, you know, there was this book came out, said that, you know, eight-sided houses would be a really cool thing to have, to build, and here's all these wonderful things about eight-sided houses, and the cooling, you would need less for cooling, you would need less, what do they call it, infrastructure for heating. So these are very economical homes, and so a lot of them were built, but a lot of them are gone, and this is one that's left, and the Friends of the Octagon House are repairing it and putting it, you know, back into its former glory. This is the one in Washington Township. And we're going to be, you know, one of the things that they do is they have this crafters fair. We're going to be there. We think it might be haunted. We're going to, I know that last year when we were there, because we did the same thing last year, we took some friends of mine who popped over for a visit. We took them on a tour of the house on the inside. And so, which is good. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So we went up to the second floor and showed them around. We went up to the cupola and showed them the cupola, and you can see, you know, from the cupola you can see down 26 Mile and up and down Van Dyke, and it's really pretty. And then we came down, we went, because it's an octagon shape, it's mostly round looking, right? You can walk all the way through every single room on a floor in one gigantic circle. So we went through and we turned out all the lights on the second floor. We went down, turned out all the lights in a big circle. You just walk from room to room to room without walking through another room because they're all connected. And in a big circle, turned out all the lights. So all the lights were out. We come back outside. We're visiting, and Will says, the lights are on the second floor again. Doug, go up and turn them off. Well, that's a recurring theme. Lights going on when you know you've turned them off. That happened to us last year. I don't know if it'll happen this year. I hope not, because I know I was petrified going up to the second floor alone to turn off these lights. But I managed to make it through, and nothing touched me on the shoulder or anything, so I was pretty safe. Now, then, that would be Saturday night. Sunday, we're off to Gettysburg. This is where it gets exciting, because today, when Will and Karma get here, because Will and Karma are on their way, today when Will and Karma get here, we are going to be talking with, how can you even introduce Mark Nesbitt? Mr. Gettysburg, Mr. Ghosts of Gettysburg, I suppose. We're going to be talking with the fellow who runs the Ghosts of Gettysburg website. He's made several videos called Ghosts of Gettysburg and Ghosts of Gettysburg 2. He's made a DVD. He's made many appearances on the shows that we all know and love on Travel Channel and Sci-Fi and Discovery. We're going to be talking with Mark Nesbitt of Gettysburg, of Ghosts of Gettysburg, at, you know, from 7:30 on. So we're going to be getting the scoop, getting the skinny, learning where we should go, what we should do, who we should see about Gettysburg. And this is really exciting to me, because Gettysburg, I believe, is third on my list. What do I mean by my list? Okay, good question. Somebody had asked at some point, what are the most haunted cities in the United States? Excuse me. And we talked about this on Ghostly Talk, so it's in the archives somewhere. I know we talked about it because I was there. And I had said, I don't know if I said my third one, I don't know if I said Gettysburg, but I think Gettysburg is my third, because I know for a fact I said Savannah, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia is, well, hello, Karma.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
It's
so nice to see you. And Will, you're here too. Excellent. Then it won't be just me blathering on. Let me finish what I was saying, however. I was saying that I had said that my first choice of haunted city, what is the most, here, I can turn off your mic. What is the most haunted city? And I had said it was Savannah, Georgia, because I've heard that Savannah, Georgia is just notoriously haunted. And sure enough, in Catherine Ramsland's book, she had been to Savannah, Georgia, looking for ghost hunters and ghost people to test her theories on and learn how to ghost hunt. So Savannah, I think her book even opens in a bed and breakfast in Savannah. Don't quote me on that, though. Anyway, then my second most haunted, or actually, they're kind of flip-flopped. I guess sometimes I feel that number one and number two could be flip-flopped around. Number two, for me, has got to be New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yes, I agree.
You do?
Uh-huh.
They say that they... Can you hear through your headphones, by the way?
No, I can't.
Uh-oh.
I don't think my mic is up loud enough.
Oh, let me push that up a bit.
Yes.
Do you hear me in the headphones?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay.
I don't hear myself.
There you are.
There I am.
I hear you now. And so, yeah, New Orleans, Louisiana. Yeah, we didn't have time. We couldn't do a mic check.
Right.
You guys
weren't
around.
So. Well, pre-show.
So, I just played something by Anthony Rutka.
You know, that?
The Tone and Niche. He's Tone of Tone and Niche.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I did that for the pre-show while I, you know, ran around like a chicken with my head cut off. Anyway, Savannah, Georgia, New Orleans, Louisiana, notoriously haunted. But then what else do you think of in the same vein you think of Gettysburg?
Right.
You have to. Absolutely have to. Because Gettysburg is just absolutely haunted. They have such a huge history. I mean, the Gettysburg Address, 4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated something that all men are created equal. But anyway.
Skipped class.
Yeah,
I was a skipper.
You skipped class. I don't blame you. Tough day, by the way. But yeah, Gettysburg is just supposed to be notoriously haunted. We went online, of course, to prepare for this. There's too much stuff, okay?
I know. I was just on there last night.
There's too much cool stuff not only Gettysburg, but the area around there. But I think we're going to end up taking a tour. Hopefully we'll catch, the Ghost of Gettysburg tour, as well as maybe a few others. I don't know if they recommend other tours, but, I'd like to take a few to get a sampling of the different, stories that you hear from folks. So I know I'd like to... take a couple of different, like those candlelight tours or moonlight tours or whatever they call them.
I went onto a site, and I don't recall which one it was, because it was like link from a link type
That's
thing.
That's how they all are, yeah. I didn't turn off the sounds on the computer here.
I was...
There you go.
I was checking out some of the stuff about, like, the untold, like, the unwritten.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I went to this website where this investigating group went to Gettysburg, mm-hmm. and they had the photos from it, and they were talking about which... areas had they had the most luck with,
mm-hmm.
and what they used in the time. I mean, they had it like mapped out, like how the temperature degrees jumped, like what kind of EVP.
Let's find that site.
Yes, and they said that they didn't get much luck with the infrared, but they did with a regular UV light for on a camera. Yes.
Interesting.
I mean, this site was like. Everything they used.
And it was a ghost hunting group.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'll find it. I have a bookmark.
Speaking of ghost hunting groups, all of October, we're going to be talking with ghost hunters.
I've seen that.
I called Will on the phone, or maybe I was talking to him, because we've been doing a lot of investigating into haunted places that we might visit on our upcoming week-long extravaganza, right? But anyway... I said, Will, I think we should just interview... Oh, it was on IMs, because I was at work, and I said, Will, what do you think of just doing ghost hunting groups or ghost hunters, for all of October? Because October is a pretty spooky month anyway.
Yes, that's like...
It's the beginning
like
of fall.
Ghost hunters.
Yeah, it's the ghost hunters Christmas time.
Right.
It's the season to be out and about ghost hunting. And so I thought it would be really cool. So we're booking now. We've invited several ghost hunters. Several have confirmed, and we'll be talking with ghost hunters all of October. Is that cool or what? Including Halloween night, because Halloween 31st, October 31st, is a Sunday night, and we'll be talking with ghost hunters.
No
that night
way!
As well. I'm not kidding.
It is.
Is that going to be freaky or what? And then after the show, we've got to do the witch thing, the witch test. At midnight on Halloween.
Oh, because of the veil being the thinnest.
Right, the veil's the thinnest and all that stuff. On Halloween night at midnight, if you go outside and walk down the street with your clothes on backwards, you should see a witch.
Oh.
That's like the thing. And we were going to try for the past 2 years in a row. Ghost Talk has been on for 2 years. We've been going to try it, and we never do.
I remember this now, because we talked about this before.
Yes. And every year we don't do it.
I think I was thinking because if you have your clothes on backwards, you're like tricking the witch, like you're not looking at them.
Oh, yes, you're right. And I wonder if that's true.
I wonder
if that's where the legend like had come from. Someone's mic is really hot.
It might be mine.
Is it mine?
It's going to be yours.
It's probably mine. Yeah, there it is.
You're really hot.
Yeah.
You know what, Doug? I told Will about this. I don't know if he told you about this, but I was getting together with some of my neighbors.
Okay.
Remember how I told you guys that I think something really weird is going on in my place?
Oh, yes.
Well, we kind of had a confirmation.
I've seen it.
Will has seen it, but the little girl that I... No, she's not little, but she's like 13. I watch her, so she's not home by herself. Her family, her uncle owns the place. And they've owned it, like, they're like probably the second owners. And this place was built back in 1940. Well, two of my neighbors have seen a little girl. About 8 years old. And then when she brought that up to Emily, she remembers her cousin telling her story about a girl in her family. I know, I just got it like...
I know, suddenly your voice changed.
Yeah.
There must be something going on in the mixer.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
weird.
It's the little girl. But anyways, I guess this little girl back in like, I'm thinking it's like the 50s, late 50s. She's 8 years old. She ran out in the street and got hit by a car. Right out in front of
your place.
Yes.
And well, that's easy to do. You're on a major thoroughfare to get in and out of downtown.
Yeah, like,
and you know, you're very close to downtown, so yeah.
And this lady that lives in the townhouse, that she lives a few units down, she says that she hears a scream. And then Emily had said, this is the girl that I watched, she had said that that's what she did because she, like, seen the car at the last second, and she screamed really loud. So, I don't know.
Wow.
And then, according
to... That's... And have you heard any of that, or have you seen the
girl? I have not heard that, but there are... Remember I told you about the time I was sleeping, and I felt like somebody was pulling at my legs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I figured, when she told me that, I'm like, that would be something like a little kid would do, like pull at your legs or whatever, like mischievous. I don't know.
It's more mischievous than anything. Yes, it is.
Right, and she said that she had three uncles that passed away in there. And I know the lady that used to live in my unit, she died too as well, and she lived there for like 15 years, 16 years. So a lot of people have come and gone out of these places, and most of them are all from the same family. So, and
wow.
They're like, there's other neighbors too that have seen weird stuff, things missing, they smell a scent. And the ones that have children, like, they have seen things too as well. So I said, I'm going to ask these guys if they want to come out. And I asked them, I said, it would be fine if we go in there and check out their houses and
mm-hmm.
stuff. So I'm like, that's too weird.
Interesting. It'll be very fun to try that out and see. Because if we can get any kind of confirmation, you know, that would at least say, okay, something's going on. It's not your imagination, you know.
And I had always thought.
You guys are not going crazy.
I said.
Lay off the Xanax and stuff, yeah.
I was going to say, I always thought that it would be like a floating spirit that went through the apartment.
Yeah, because to them.
Because sometimes it's there.
Walls don't mean anything, yeah.
Right, and I guess, from what the neighbor said too, that she runs up and down. Because there's an attic.
Okay.
If you were to go up in my bedroom, in the closet, pull down the ladder, mm-hmm. and look up, you can look all the way to the end. And she
okay,
hears
so it's a common
running.
Attic.
Yeah, she hears running, and that's where she hears the screams from.
Wow.
And I asked her, I said, do you hear it, or is other people hearing it too? She's like, I'm not sure. Because she could be the only one hearing it, you know.
Depends on your vibrations. It all seems to have to do with vibrations. That's what Catherine Ramsland had learned, or she had related throughout the entire book of her experience with ghost hunting, which, of course, is an ongoing experience, but at least at the time the book was written. Everybody's like, oh, your vibrations. His vibrations are way low, and yours are higher, and then others, angels are higher, and, you know, they have, like, this vibrational scale. So it depends on what you're doing, which is why you go into a trance. You have to lower your vibrations or raise your vibrations or do something with your vibrations in order to, like, do a seance and stuff like that. So you have to change your vibrations because we're working on one level when we're conscious, and then you have to be on a different level, evidently, to see ghosts or talk to them or have them do stuff. So it's all vibration. So she might just be a naturally, you know, slip in and out of the vibrations easier than others.
From when I was talking to her, she said this. She's been experiencing this since when she was younger. She would see like visions and stuff.
So she could. She might be the kind that
like it would be there 1 minute and it'd be gone. Like she was seeing
like
reenactment,
ghost I saw. Yeah.
Like a reenactment of something that had taken place. And then I got in a discussion with her. I'm like, well, how do you know if it was from the past or if it was something that was going to happen in the present?
Oh, yeah.
How do you like...
You couldn't really tell unless you were there.
The only clues would be, like, maybe the clothes that they were wearing, maybe.
You'd have to sense that somehow, pick up on that, and put together all the information you could to try and determine. Interesting. I also, you guys, while you were gone, I welcomed Rob McConnell of X-Zone to Pioneer, because evidently his show is starting tomorrow. It's starting, well, Monday.
What's the show?
X-Zone.
Oh, okay.
X-Zone. Of Rob McConnell's X-Zone out of Canada.
I was thinking that was his screen name.
So, no. he was in the chat room. Speaking of the chat rooms, Pioneer's chat rooms, you go anywhere on the IRC network. It's on Undernet, and you join # Pioneer Radio. You can get there easily if you go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. And click on the little text chat link in the control, the little control knob, text chat. And you can join the chat rooms. There's a lot of really cool people in the chat rooms waiting for our talk with Mark Nesbitt of Ghosts of Gettysburg. There's I I don't know offhand, but I know John's Monty's in there. I know that the Kyle was in there.
OSR Gary.
OSR Gary, yes. I already did a shout-out. I'm like, we're going to see you next Friday, I hope. And then
Prairie Ghost.
Prairie Ghost is in there. There's
Viper Hunter. That's a new one.
I haven't heard that one, so that's an interesting. Huh. I'd like to get to know that person. There's tons of folks. I'm in there. Oh, Havoc's in there. Scott K. Yeah, Scott K is in
Hi,
there.
Scott.
He's under Money Shots. P13's in there. Wow, tons of people going to listen to us talk with Mark Nesbitt of Ghosts of Gettysburg.
I forgot my notebook because I wanted to take notes.
Do you know, I ordered, well, fortunately, we'll have
I've
an archive.
I see.
Yes, I ordered Ghosts of Gettysburg, the video, and Ghosts of Gettysburg 2, the other video, and I ordered the cassette tape of the auto tour. The idea of those things are, it's on cassette or CD. And I ordered the cassette. And what you can do is you put it in your car, and I hope it's like the other ones where he tells you like where to drive, you know. So like, you know, drive to the corner of whatever, and then
make a right.
Yeah, and then make a right, and then play the tape again, and then you pop out the tape and you go there, right? And then you play the tape, and he tells you, and hopefully he'll tell us during this cassette tour. You know, the ghosts that have been seen there, or the history of, and or the history of the place, you know, that kind of thing. So it'll be like a self-guided tour with the aid of this cassette tape. So I ordered that as well.
Do you recall the name of the bridge that Carolyn was talking about, Catherine?
Sachs Bridge.
S-A-C-H-S. Because that was on there. They got really good EVP.
That might be Mark. So I'll tell you what, let's go to break, and we'll try and get Mark Nesbitt on the telephone with us.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
I'm not getting any.
Out into the hidden skies where castles crumble like salt water in the eyes. And this drink is not me, no it's not me, not me inside. And my fist is lonely for another jaw to rise. And my head spins like a touching, 'cause you can't feel. And oh, why did you want it this way? And oh, the words are cold and afraid. And oh, each book has lost another page. And now, the broken hearted army is engaged. So now the bird
The Tone and Niche, the new off the new album. That's Tone and Niche's new album, On the Streets of.
It's not the traditional comeback music.
It's no. Normally we do that. You know the powerful stuff. Yeah, punky powerful riffs and stuff. But no, we lost our promos there. Usually we play little promos, but. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're going to Gettysburg next week. It doesn't matter. First, I also wanted to say, not only are we going to Gettysburg, we're going to Gettysburg for a few days next week. Then we're going to go ghost hunting with some friends down there. And then we're going to, on Saturday, we're going to be in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, for the Mothman Festival. This is the third annual Mothman Festival, and we're going to the Mothman Festival this year. And it's on September 18th is when we'll be there, and that's a Saturday. And so anybody from that area, anybody from, you know, Western Ohio, anybody from Pennsylvania, Southern Pennsylvania, anywhere in West Virginia, anywhere around there, Northeast Kentucky, go to Point Pleasant. And meet with us. We'll give out a free CD to you if we have any left. And so you'll get to see us at Point Pleasant, Ohio, or Point Pleasant, West Virginia as well. Go to mothmanlives.com. That's their website. Anyway, before Mothman though, we are going to Gettysburg. We're very excited about it, and we have for you today, we've got Mark Nesbitt of the ghostsofgettysburg.com website. As well as he's a published author. He's written many books on Gettysburg. He's historical. He's ghost hunted with Catherine Ramsland, who, of course, we had on several weeks ago. And we have Mark Nesbitt on the phone with us to tell us all about Gettysburg. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Doug, Karma, and Will.
Hi.
Oh, good, good. First try, too. But it is nice meeting you, because we had talked about you inadvertently. We never in a million years expected, when we were talking to Catherine Ramsland, we never in a million years expected her to start talking about Gettysburg, because I hadn't at that point, now of course I have, but I hadn't at that point read her book called Ghost. I had read only Cemetery Stories.
Right.
And of course several Anne Rice things, but never Ghost. And then she starts talking about Gettysburg. I'm like, why are you talking about Gettysburg? And she's like, oh, I went there and I describe it all in Ghost. So we had to run out and buy Ghost as well. So now I've read her, like, tons of her books. And but yeah, she says she's met you and ghost hunted with you. Tell us about the Ghosts of Gettysburg.
Well, actually, yeah, Catherine was the one that introduced me to EVP, as a matter of fact. And of course, I know the battlefield very well, but as far as the techniques and everything, that was new to me, the EVP. I'd heard about it, but I'd never really done it. And I remember the night we went out to a place called the Triangular Field, and this is a kind of a desolate area of the battlefield. It's not on the battlefield tour, at least back then it wasn't. It's just the other side of Devil's Den. And I'm really not sure why this place is so active. I guess you know, if you're into like the Bermuda Triangle and triangles and things like that, and trinities and things, I guess maybe that might be one of the reasons. But at any rate, we were out there, and I had actually done a book called 35 Days to Gettysburg, and the soldiers in that book fought in the Triangular Field. And so I had a list of names, and we started asking questions of names on the digital recorder, and it was fascinating because you would pause after you asked a question, and with absolutely total silence in this field, you would see the numbers on the recorder start to roll. In other words, it was recording something in total silence. So it was pretty fascinating. And when we played it back then, you heard everything from angry roars to little background noise, you know, kind of like white noise in the background, to to distinct military sounds like, yes, sir.
I think Catherine did say something that when you asked, you ran off the name of the list of the soldiers, and they kind of like gave you like kind of like a roll call thing.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't know the names, you know, to holler out. You know what, though? Wait a minute. That triggered a memory in my head. She said in her book Ghost, because when we had interviewed her, I hadn't read Ghost. And here I am, a ghost hunter for, you know, and a broadcaster for two and a half years. And I'm a fan already of Catherine Ramsland because of her work on Anne Rice and vampires. And then of course Cemetery Stories, which is why we contacted her in the first place. And I had no idea she had written Ghost. I didn't even know that existed until we talked to her. And so it was like a happy, you know, like a present to me, like, oh, you got to go get this book. So I went and got it, and I read it cover to cover in 2 days. And she said that you actually, because of this, that they had said something in the EVP, Mark, about an orange company or some company from, someplace you didn't expect. Am I thinking of a different?
No, it was called the Orange Blossoms.
Okay.
And that was the 124th New York was from Orange County. And one of the people that we were talking to was Carol Kirkpatrick. She's a psychic that we employ every once in a while to give us more insight. And, of course, she really doesn't know anything about the Battle of Gettysburg. Couldn't care less, as a matter of fact. Doesn't know anything about the Civil War and really doesn't care. And one of the things that she said is that she felt something from southern New York. She heard an accent of southern New York, and I didn't even know this. I knew it was from Orange. The Orange Blossoms got their name because they were from Orange County, New York. I looked it up on a map, and by golly, it was southern New York. It's right on the Pennsylvania border.
Wow.
There are various, you know, between psychics and between the historical research that we do, at least this is my method, to go to the battlefield and use that historical research, because I can pretty much tell you where, for example, certain people actually died, like John Reynolds and the highest-ranking Union officer to die in the battle. We can go right to that site. And then when you do that, that's when I can ask questions and ask specific questions out into the world or the other world, and hopefully get some answers from the world beyond.
So you've actually learned and then followed up on information that was received psychically by Ms. Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, she gave me. I knew that the unit came from Orange County, but I didn't know where Orange County was, and I knew it was in New York. And when she said she heard a southern New York accent, that's when I had to look it up, and by golly, it was from southern New York. So we'll use psychics there on the battlefield. We haven't in a while, but also we'll use the historical research, too, to give us clues and give us hints and what questions to ask, especially when we're doing EVP. You're trying to get photographs of paranormal mists or orbs or what have you.
And now these battlefields, though, they're closed at night now, from what Catherine says?
Correct. The Park Service has always had a policy of closing the park from 10 at night till 6 in the morning. So fall is really a good time to go, because it gets dark there around, you know, 5
right.
or 6 o'clock in the evening, and so you have a good 3-4 hours before you have to get off the battlefield.
And what's on the... Because I ordered that cassette tape, right, from your website?
Right.
I ordered that cassette tape, the auto-guided tour. What should I expect? Are you going to, like, tell us, you know, drive here and then play the tape again, and then you talk about the history of that place? What do I expect out of that? Because it comes in cassette and also CD-ROM versions.
Right.
But I got the cassette.
It's kind of like a little bit of a book on tape, because what I do is my wife gives you the directions. Carol gives you the directions how to get to the site from the center square of town. Once you're there, then you can park and then listen to the story that I have in my book of that site. And they put some spooky music in there, too. So you can actually take it out on the battlefield at night, after dark, and scare the living bejeebers out of yourself.
Awesome.
Well, I hope you're not going to have headphones because we're going to be fighting over them.
We're going to be like, okay, play it again, play it again. The tape will be worn out by the end. But, yeah, no, I'll bring an actual, tape player. So, yeah, no, that'll be pretty cool. I really, because I've taken, there's self-guided cassettes that you can get for some national parks and things like that. And I thought, oh, what better thing for our Gettysburg trip than a haunted, with the stories of the ghosts and stuff. So that's why I ordered that cassette. And I also ordered your the videos.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking forward to those as well.
Those are really I'm really pretty proud of those. Greystone Communications did those back when I had just Ghosts 1, 2, and 3. I just finished Ghosts of Gettysburg 6, and that was just published in the spring, this past spring. But I thought they did a fabulous job. They did kind of a Hollywood job of the stories, reenacted some of the more famous stories from my books, and they're still playing some of them. I heard just last night I was autographing at Ghosts of Gettysburg Candlelight Walking Tour headquarters last night, and some people came in and they said that the History Channel was playing them, and I know that A&E plays them, History Channel, Travel Channel. So those are still fairly popular.
I'm sure they'll get more and more play as it gets closer to Halloween as well.
Yes.
Because they tend to go on like this haunted everything thing on the satellite and cable channels.
Yeah.
During October, so I'm looking forward to that. I probably could have just waited, but see, I can't wait because we're going next week. Speaking of which, the tours, we're planning on taking some of these.
Great.
What do we expect?
Well, if you're going to be involved with our place, we have three different tours that you can take. We have one that is the Baltimore Street Tour, and that's one of the main streets in Gettysburg. And, of course, the battle was actually fought in the town as well as on the outskirts of town. So you'll be walking down streets where men fought and died right in front of our place, the Ghosts of Gettysburg Candlelight Walking Tour headquarters. The Confederates actually built a barricade across the street of Baltimore Street and used our building. Our building is a Civil War building, and they used that as kind of a sharpshooter's roost. And then we also have a Carlisle Street College campus tour. Gettysburg College, it used to be called Pennsylvania College, that was here at the time of the battle. There were only three buildings there, but you will be able to tour around through there and hear some of the stories, some of the more famous stories about Pennsylvania Hall and the famous elevator that takes the riders on a strange trip to another world.
That is the story that punches every button in my book.
I'll tell you, that is a classic. It is a really frightening story. And the interesting part about that one is that the two women, I knew the two women that happened to originally. And I'm going to give you kind of a scoop here because I'm writing about this in the next book. But, you always want to get a second source for these things. And I could never really get a second source until one day I was autographing at Gettysburg College. And this couple came up to me and they said, gee, we know that person that had that experience on the elevator. And I said, well, what, was her name such and such? And I named the two people that I knew and they said, no. And I said, okay, what's her name? And they gave me a name of a woman who lived in Colorado.
So you were probably thinking, uh-oh, who am I talking to? It's neither of the ladies, and I already know both ladies.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, where's this coming from?
In other words, it had happened to another completely separate, different individual.
Wow.
And so that gave me actually the third person that had experienced this thing. And what happened is that she was an accountant from a firm in Lancaster. They were doing an auditing some of the books at Gettysburg College. They asked her to go out to the car to pick up some paper. She got in the elevator. It went down past the first floor into the basement. The doors opened to reveal that scene out of Time and Reason of a Civil War hospital with amputations going on. Orderlies carrying armloads of severed limbs. It scared her. She pressed the buttons. The doors wouldn't close. One of the orderlies started walking towards the elevator to either remove her to help or to get on the elevator so that he could get out of that that hell on earth. The doors finally closed, and she went back up to the first floor and went out to the to a modern scene outside the building. So it was a pretty so in other words, what I have now is two separate documentations for that particular story.
And that sounds remarkably similar to the one that happened to the two ladies. So because it was the same kind of thing, they opened the doors opened to this scene from the past of the hospital, kind of, you know, the makeshift hospital with amputations and orderlies running around. An orderly sees them, and then as something's about to happen, the doors close and they you know, return to normal time.
That's
so
right.
This was two these stories aren't even dissimilar. These are very similar stories.
The story she told me was very, very similar to the one that I had heard from the two women. So I think whatever that is keeps going on. It's like a recording down in that basement that on certain occasions replays over and over and over again.
Do you think did you find a pattern? Like, was it the same day of the year or the same
anniversary
kind of thing?
Because it was like in, what, 1883?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
It wasn't in 1883, Gettysburg?
The battle was 1863.
1863, that's it,
so yeah. 2003 would have been.
And I really didn't notice a pattern. I think it just happens upon occasion, you know. It's only happened twice as far as I know. It may have happened, I mean, other things do happen in that building. I mean, I know to this day or to this week things have happened there. People keep telling me that, you know, give us a call, we'll tell you some more stories about Pennsylvania Hall. So it is a fairly active place.
For some people that don't know the story behind that, I read that was actually like a place where they would take the dead bodies and they would line them up.
Well, what it was originally was a hospital. You know, what happened is that as soon as the battle started, men started getting wounded, and they started carrying the men back to some of the largest buildings in the area, and that was the largest building. Pennsylvania Hall was a dormitory a dormitory for Gettysburg Pennsylvania College. So the upper floors became recovery rooms, and the ground floor and the lower floors became the operating rooms. And there are horror stories, of course, of pyramids of arms and legs and hands and feet piling up outside the windows because they would amputate a limb and just pitch it, just toss it out.
Yeah.
And then the poor guys would be left to suffer. So that is the actual history of that building. Burials went on outside when the men died. Of course, not all of them survived those horrible operations. And they would be buried outside, and we're really not sure what happened to the limbs. You know, I think that many of them were buried out there. Some were burned. So that building has, if there are any residual echoes of horrible things that happened to people, that building would hold them,
I would say.
Yeah, and that's on one of the three tours, right?
That's on our Carlisle Street College campus tour.
What's the third tour?
Yeah, then we have the third tour, which is Seminary Ridge Tour, and that takes you out to through the grounds of the Lutheran Theological Seminary, which sits on Seminary Ridge, one of the main battle lines, the main Confederate battle line at Gettysburg, and you walk along the ridge and hear stories in particular about General Reynolds. I don't like to say in my books that this specific ghost is this specific person, but it seems that if there's anyone that we can identify that seems to show up repeatedly, it's General Reynolds. He was the highest ranking Union officer to be killed in the battle. He was leading his troops into battle. He was there about 15 minutes and he turned in the saddle and was shot in the back of the head and was killed virtually instantly. And there have been sightings in some of the modern dormitories of the seminary of this bearded, dark countenance floating through the rooms. The one seminarian told me the story, and I said, boy, this sounds familiar, and I pulled out a picture of Reynolds, and I showed it to him, and he said, by golly, that's him.
Hmm.
Man. Oh, what do you think has there been folks who've gone on the tours and had something paranormal happen to them?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've had a lot of experiences on the tours. It's kind of, you know, you never expect it, and of course we can't guarantee, you know, that anything's going to happen. But people have had a number of experiences on our tours, that everything from seeing columns of blue lights out on the battlefield over some of the statues to actually there was one building that had a lot of activity just this last month, in the month of August. It went on for about 45 minutes, and people could see shadowy figures inside dressed as Civil War soldiers. One fella looked like he sat down at an imaginary, or an invisible, I should say, table, and it looked like he was actually feeding himself. They saw other figures moving around, and they identified them as soldiers. This went on for about 45 minutes, and people got some photographs, and it was a pretty frightening experience, not only for our customers, but for our guides, too. Two of them witnessed this, and they were pretty shocked.
I was talking to somebody online, and they said that they've been to Gettysburg, and there's like a big sign that says that there's no ghost here. Is that true?
I haven't seen that sign. I don't know where it is. But, you know, it's the National Park Service. Their official line is that there are no such things as ghosts at Gettysburg. But, you know, I've collected well over 500 stories. You know, there's 6 books out, and I'm working on a 7th now. And all the stories come from people who have had these experiences. And I have to be totally convinced that they have had these experiences, or I won't put them in my books. And I have a few little checkpoints to make sure that they're not making any of these stories up before I'll use them.
Right, that's what you would have to do, writing.
Yeah, you have to, you know, have some kind of
confirmation.
Otherwise,
yeah.
If you lose credibility.
Yeah.
But all these stories, I'm so impressed. I'm so excited. Yes, we are going to Gettysburg next week. Right now, though, we should take a break. Do we have break music cued? Oh, good. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back in, like, just a few minutes with more. Hopefully, we can convince Mark to tell us maybe his favorite stories, whatever they are, whether they're haunted or just historical or anything. Hopefully, we can get Mark to tell us some really, really cool stories about Gettysburg, get us really worked up, because we're heading there next Sunday. So, little break. We'll be right back with more with Mark Nesbitt of GhostsOfGettysburg.com.
Journalistic responsibility.
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
DrunkenDialing.com.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
DrunkenDialing.com.
Oh. There's a kangaroo cake frosting in my coffee.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, Tommy.